So, okay, let's continue on Ayin Beis on Beis and Bozar. So, the last thing we did was about the idea of Nitzik being a Chibur and the Chumrah of Koach. Okay, so let's continue. The Gemara is still trying to prove if Nitzik is a Chibur or not. So there's two more cases we need to take up. Okay, so the Gemara says... Omalu Rav Chistelhanu Savisa. Right? I think that's what we're up to. Yeah, Savisa means Mochre Yayin. Rash explains an Ayin Alf and Alf. So he told them they were Jews. They were selling, they would sell the wine to Goyim. So he told them what? He says, Ki Kai Lisu Chamra Lovikochavim. What does that mean? That's also an Ayin Alf, I think. It means when you measure out the wine. When you're measuring out the wine to the Ovdei Kochavim, what? Katfi Ketufi. Inami Nafsi Nafutsi. So in other words, he also was worried about Nitzuk. Right? He was also worried about Nitzuk. He wanted to make sure that the wine was poured in. He wanted to make sure that the wine, that there was a discontinuous stream of wine that was poured in, so it wouldn't asa the wine in his cup in the Jew's barrel. Yeah.
When it comes to the
just factually speaking, so I know this was Mayer's was wondering about this from a while ago. What is the Isser really coming from? Right, the Isser. Where's the Isser in the Nitzuk? Where's the Isser? Where's the Yayin that's Asser? So we always are just saying, and I think a lot of Farshim say that we assume there's some Yayin Nesach in the bottom of his wine glass or wine barrel to start with. But I did see another answer somewhere else that it depends on how you learn different things in the Sugya. So it's not the very call. But they want to say that there's a halacha that a barrel. The kalim that the Ovdei Kochavim use to store wine in itself is usher to use, and if you use one of those kalim, the wine becomes usher. So you could also learn it's just from the kli itself, like the barrels of yayin, even an empty barrel that was used for yayin nesach. If you put wine in it, the wine is usher. The nafkamina though is that yayin is only usher b'shasiya, and it would seem it's bottle. So it depends on how you learn Nitzuk. If you learn Nitzuk like we were learning, that it's Tyrovus, then it would seem that that's not enough to create a problem. But other shitas hold, it makes it like it's this one thing. They could learn it simpler. It's just the barrel itself is Usser. The wine becomes Usser just from the barrel, even if there's no other wine in the bottom. Okay, but anyway, so your question, Avi, is what? No, is if you're throwing it and it has like a makes a bow of wine, would that be a nitzuk?
When you generally throw any liquid, it does take some sort of form. It doesn't just, you know, shoot from one side to the other without, you know.
Now the question is, why is the throwing mean that practically speaking, there's just never going to be connected, or or that stream is not called a nitzuk anyway?
Yeah,
you're saying it's not a nitzuk. Not, doesn't sound like a nitzuk.
I'm trying to get to the other one. It's not gonna.
Yeah, so it's like you throw a bucket of water. It doesn't take a.
See, the problem for the mochre yayin is what's the big deal? So they're gonna give it all to the guy anyway. Who cares, right? Right, like Chaim says, like Lachsbar says, he has the amount he's giving to the guy, so it's all for the guy. So what's the difference if it becomes us or not, right? So no, of course it makes a big difference. What's the difference?
When he gets paid.
Yeah, what's that?
When he gets paid.
Yeah, because you can't get paid for Yayin Nesach. You can't sell Yayin Nesach. So if it becomes Yayin Nesach before it all goes into his Rishus, that's the sugi that we skipped. If it becomes Yayin Nesach before it goes into his Rishus, then you can't sell it. So if I measure out, I have my bucket of Yayin Nesach, I have my bucket of Kasher Yayin that I agree to sell to him. If while I'm pouring it into his barrel it becomes usser, then all the rest that I haven't poured in now I can't sell. So that's why I wanted to make sure not to. That's why he was talking to the mochri yayin for their business. They're not allowed to sell yayin esach. So if you take a bucket and you just toss the contents, toss the contents, then he's saying it's not going to be. Then you're not. It's not going. Nothing's going to be. It would seem that that happens all at once. It just seems that there's no setup of nitzach. There's no case of anything that's remaining in your kli that's going to be yours. That's going to be yours. All right, let's go on. So anyway, so let's take the next case. Next case is an interesting case. Hahu gavra, right? Oh no. Oh, so the Gemara is like this. Amalu Rava, another one. Lahanu shvochoi ki shafchisu chama lo likori vavichavim l'sayei v'adai chodom mash talisu v'shadisu lei alei v'kosi mikocho v'asar. Okay, that's a different case. That's Brahm of Koch. So you shouldn't let them do what? You shouldn't let them come to do it with you, because maybe they'll do it and it'll all be usher from Koch. Okay, let's take the next case. Hahu gavra d'asik chamra begishta ubas gishta. All right. So what does that mean? What's the d'asik chamra begishta ubas gishta? What's the gishta ubas gishta?
Two reeds.
Right. So Rashi explains it's two reeds. You take a reed, you cut it at a 45 degree angle, and then you rotate it, basically, and you get a corner, more or less, right?
An upside down V.
Basically, it's a siphon. Long story short, it's a siphon. And what do? Rash says you put one end in the barrel that's full until it gets to the bottom. And you put the other end in the in your mouth, right? You have to suck on it a little bit until the yayin comes up, and then you shomto mi piv. You pull it out of your mouth. You don't want to drink the wine. You pull it out of your mouth. Umeinia chavis reikonis kineged hakiluach, and then you put an empty barrel by the stream, right? V'yayin ola me'elav kulo mechavis l'chavis. And then all of the wine goes by itself from barrel to barrel. You can transfer it from barrel to barrel you just got to prime it, you just got to get it going a little, right? And then put the other end in the bottom and it all comes out. Nailif. So does anybody figure out how it works? Gravity. Okay. So, so what happened? So he was siphoning off his wine. Ahu gavra dosik chamra begishta ubaskishta. The gishta is the part that's in the barrel that's coming from, and the baskishta is in the one it's going to. That's what they would call it. So also vikchavim onach yode agishta. Actually, maybe I got that reversed. Noga berosh zeh makaleach. Sounds like Rashi saying it's on the side that's spilling out, right? So he put his finger, he touched the wine that was coming out. Asre Rava l'kulei chamra. So Rava said the whole barrel is asr. All the wine is asr. Afilu masha b'kli harishon. Even that which is on the first kli. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. V'amalei Rav Ada bar Masna l'Rava. Va'amrila Ravina l'Rava, right? That what? Bimai benitzok. So they all were bothering Rava. Yeah. Why is it Asher? They're questioning Rava. Why should you ask all the wine? Why should you ask all the wine? Do you mean to say that Nitzik is a chibor? So he says, no. Shani hasam de kuli chamro gishtu bas gishtu garu. Okay, very interesting. What does Rashi say? So he's saying it has nothing to do with Nitzik. It has nothing to do. Rava was saying this has nothing to do with Nitzik. It's not that the wine that's flowing out of the siphon is a problem of Nitzik. Is a din of nitzuk to the rest of the wine, and when you ask to the bottom, then because of nitzuk, we consider it attached to the top. It's a different din. Even if you don't hold from nitzuk, this would be asr. Why? He says because all the wine is dragged by the gishta ubas gishta. What does that mean, Rashi? Sharei me'elav ole. It comes up by itself. V'havale kinogeya b'chovis mamish. He's kinoga b'chovis mamish. It's like he touched the chovis itself. Davale chovis arichta. So Rashi's saying there's no difference, that Rava was saying there's no difference between touching the gishta and just stomp putting your hand in the barrel. Why? Yeah, let's understand this. Right, so what's the factor that makes it one continuous barrel? He's saying it's ola me'elav. It's me'elav ola. And it's like a chovis arichta. And what does he mean is me'elav? It means you don't have to do anything afterwards.
There's no koach, man?
There's no koach. It's not like a guy pouring a barrel. If he's pouring a barrel, you don't call that me'elav. That's the continuous koach of the gavra. And when you pour for netilas yadayim, you don't call that me'elav, you call it koach gavra. Problem is if you just open up the faucet at the bottom, so you don't call that koach after the first amount that comes out. But if a person is pouring something, you don't call them me'elav. Here you call them me'elav. You started it, and then what? And he just lets it go? Yeah, go ahead. Avi? In other words, the coming out of the barrel is me'elav. Nitzuk is not like that. This is different. It's coming out of the barrel me'elav. So let's try to define this then. No, it's the havamina that... What does Nitzuk bring up? Nitzuk brings up the question of what is in the kli and what is... You have to have a definition, right? Of what's in the kli and what's out of the kli. Because Nitzuk being a chibur means that everything that's in the kli is one. That's for sure. So Nitzuk being a chibur means that even that which is out of the kli will be joined to that which is in the kli. So it demands some sort of a way of defining in and out. Right? In and out. So what was the Havamina? I mean, they thought it was Nitzuk. They thought he was thinking Nitzuk. Rav Papa thought this must be Nitzuk. So what did that mean? It means he thought that the stuff that is coming out of the bottom of the siphon is not considered in the barrel with the other stuff. So what was his idea of in and out? Motion? What would you say? I mean, it is a process. I mean, Pashtus, what would you say? Pashtus, you'd say what? There's a process going on over here of emptying barrel A into barrel B, right? I mean, it can be stopped. It's not like you can't stop it. And if you would stop it, then a certain amount would fall back into... A certain amount would stay in the original barrel, and a certain amount would continue falling out of the barrel, right? So, what would you say? Yeah.
I think it seems like...
No, it's pashtus, you'd say it's just like pouring, no? I mean, you say, look, I have a big cup of wine, I pour it out, so everything is moving. I mean, in some sense, it's moving. Stuff in the cup is also sort of moving. But there's a certain... Where do I call in and what do I call out? It goes by the kli. And if I would stop pouring... All the stuff inside would stay inside, and all the stuff that's outside would remain outside. So basically, you nitzuk is the stuff that's that in the kli and out of the kli is defined by, I guess I would say, where it would go without if you return it to the state before you started the emptying of the kli. Some stuff would remain and some stuff would remain out. I mean, the siphoning is a process you're doing. It's a process. So that's a dynamic thing you've entered. You start out with a static barrel of wine. Now you're entering a dynamic process of emptying. So you have to look at the process and you say, if I would stop the process of emptying, certain amount would remain and a certain amount would be lost. So I call the stuff that would remain still in the kli, and I start to call the stuff that would be lost being poured out. No, I mean that's a simple way of looking at it. That's one way. Yeah. How exactly we define where to cut off the yayin that's in the kli and out of the kli is a good question. But the bottom line is, it would seem that the way Rav Papa was looking at it is that you want to measure the yayin in the kli, that has to be under a certain static state of the kli. But the siphon is like a dynamic influence on the kli. It's a change. You're changing something. So you want to know what's really in the kli and what's out of the kli. I would say stop the change and see where things settle back down. But in other words, right, I guess if you have a long straw, you suck up on it, and then you drop it back down. So basically, you'll say it never left. It never really left the kli. Maybe you'll say the obvious, I don't know, whatever you want to say. But the point is, Rav Papa was looking at it like it's a change to the state of the kli, and therefore all of it can only be also through a chibur of nitzah. Because certainly, what's at the bottom pouring out is not part of the contents of the kli anymore. Yeah, so what was Rava's Chiddush? It has nothing to do with being static or dynamic. It has nothing to do with states of motion. Right? It doesn't have to, just because all that yayin, he's saying, that's flowing through that tube, you don't look at that like something like an external koach. You don't look at that like a change in something. He's saying, somehow, Rav was saying, that's all part of the system of the barrel. That's all one entity of barrel. Why? Because it's me'elav. So what's the key difference then between Nitzuk and Chavis? I mean, it seems definitely has to do with the fact that it's contained in that tube, right? Like the Ketafres type of thing. I mean, the pouring out is not contained in anything. Pouring out is not contained in anything. The stuff that's pouring over the lip of the cup is not contained in anything. That's definitely leaving the coast. It's interesting. He says, "Ola me'elav, me'elav ola." It's like it's coming out by itself. Me'elav ola. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, the siphon is a phenomenal thing. Right, I mean, if you take the barrel and you tip it over, so then you've reconfigured the barrel, right? The amazing thing with the siphon is it has nothing to do with the configuration, right? It's not like you're opening up a spout and everything is coming down. Because if I have a spout that's opened, the water will always flow as long as it's open. But if I put a siphon into a barrel and I put the other end into another barrel, that doesn't mean water is going to flow, right? There's no particular, it's not a matter of just a configuration. It's you have to start some process and then the process takes over on its own. It's not purely a matter of position. So if I take a barrel and it's upright, the water will never come out. And when it's on its side, the water will always come out. So I put it into a state that when I tip it over, it's remaining in the position that demands it flow out. So that's all traced back to me. Right? With the siphon, it's interesting. It's not a particular position. It's not a matter of a particular position. There's a certain property of the siphon that when it gets started, it continues. In other words, I would say like this, Rashi's learning like this, that contained in the barrel, all the contained in the barrel means is that, like we were saying, like everybody's saying over here, that it's acting in line with the nature of the container. That's considered in the chavis. So in a normal barrel, when it's upright, it'll hold something, and when it's on its side, it won't. So So the way it relates to the only way it relates to the barrel is in the upright position. Otherwise, when it's tilted, so then everything that is flowing out is completely unrelated to the barrel anymore. Because the barrel would even if the barrel would right itself up, it wouldn't even be in it anymore. But he's saying like this. He's saying by the siphon, there's no difference between the yayin that is stationarily that is contained in the stationary chavis, and the yayin that's flowing through the siphon. Why? In both cases, you can say that they're relating to their container within the nature of the container. One is the barrel. The nature of the barrel is to contain, and the nature of the siphon is to move. It's so to speak. Its steady state is one of motion. Its natural state is one of motion. That's a natural state of the siphon.
Inertial.
It's in a natural inertial state. So you don't call that change. It's an amazing concept. You don't call that change. You don't say it's in a state of change. You say that's the property of the siphon itself. That it creates a continuous stream within it. So there's no reason to favor, you know, steady states where there's no motion or a steady state where there is motion. There's no difference between the two. It's each one is the contents are in the natural state of this container. So it's all like one big, it's all one long chavis. It's like a big chavis. Let's see if we can sharpen that up a little. It's mashma from Rashi that since all of the wine will eventually travel through that gishta ubar gishta, ubas gishta, it's all considered one. It says, kuli chamra, filu mashma bekli arishon, is gorier, is dragged after gishta ubas gishta, because it's going to come by itself. It's me'elav. Doesn't require, in other words, Nitzuk being a chibur is only an issue when between the yayin that's contained in one kli and unrelated to this and not related to what's outside the kli except via this of the tzura of Nitzuk. But he's saying if all the yayin in the kli is coming through that gishto bas gishto by itself, then it's all considered it's all considered one already. You don't have any division. There's no division anymore between the wine. There's no division of wine inside and outside. Other than the normal case with the barrel, let's just talk about it a little more. Normal case with the barrel, when you pour it out, so you'll say, why is the wine leaving? Because it's a failure because it's the kli is not functioning properly, right? And because the function of the kli is the kli itself is failing to function. In other words, the function of the kli is that it will contain what's lower than its lips, right? I mean that's how a kli works. It'll contain what's lower than its lip than the top. So obviously, if I take the kli and I pour it out. So then there's no containment anymore. Then basically what I'm doing is I'm forcing liquid over the top, right? So the kli no longer can no longer function because I'm being so sere the reason why stuff comes out when you pour out of a cup or out of a barrel. So what are you really doing? You're really being so sere the ability of the kli. The kli's ability is to contain that which is below its below the top. So if I force liquid, if I tilt it, so I'm basically forcing the liquid over the top, right? So that's it. Only moves because I'm undoing the function of the kli. Right? You understand what I'm trying to get at, basically? But with the gishta ubas gishta, you can't say that. You don't say that the yayin is leaving because of the a failure of the of the of the tzura. It's not a failure of the tzura of the kli in the pouring, so then the tzura of the kli can't function anymore. Over here, the tzura of the kli is functioning perfectly. Nothing is getting by those walls. Nothing is getting by those walls, right? And it's just happening me'elav that because of the way the gishta and bas gishta works, so then me'elav the yayin is ola me'elav. It's not because the top of the kli is failing to contain it. It's ola me'elav from the suction. So he's saying that as long as the kli is still functioning, and what is leaving it is not because of a deficiency in the kli, it's just a part of the intrinsic process of the gishta ubas gishta, then you don't say that it's two different entities. Now, the stuff that pours out normally I consider separate, because the very nature of the function of the kli is only relating to what's contained within its walls. And when I pour, I'm forcing stuff to go over the walls. So then the stuff that goes over is no longer considered, it's leaving because of a failure of the, because of the deficiency in the kli itself, because I'm so sure the function of the kli itself. So that which leaves because of a stira in the function of the kli is not related to the kli. But gishto bas gishto is not like that. You can't say, so basically intrinsically, when you pour it's not related. But because by definition it's coming out because it's over the top, so the kli doesn't relate to what's over the top. I mean that's where the kli ends. But over here he's saying what's coming out is not because it's a failure in the kli; it's just a me'elav process. So all the yayin in the kli and in the gishto bas gishto is considered one entity. It was you're saying, Johnny and Levi are saying. I mean, you're saying like this. Maybe this is what you're saying. That when you have the barrel and the siphon, so really they need each other in order to accomplish the transfer, right? I mean, if the yayin wasn't being held in the chavis, then the siphon wouldn't be able to do anything. And the siphon without the function of the siphon, it wouldn't be able to move either. So he's saying when you are transferring yayin with the system, when you transfer yayin, it's a system of kelim, of siphon and barrel. Right? That is one functional. No, it's defined as one. It's the kelim go by function. Right? We consider something in a kli because it's partaking of the function of that kli. That's I guess the idea I was sort of clumsily saying before. That when do we call something contained by the kli is when it's partaking of the function of that kli. So he's saying a regular barrel, when it's being contained, the barrel is standing straight. That's what a barrel is for, to contain, to prevent it from falling to the ground. And when I tilt it over, so the stuff that's coming out is not functioning, is not partaking of the function of the kli, per se. It's leaving the function of the kli, it's leaving the confines of the kli, it's leaving the safety of the kli. So that's definitely chutz and toch. Whatever's in the kli means it's partaking of the function of the kli. Even when I'm pouring it, it's partaking of the function of the kli, because I'm able to direct it with the kli. But when it leaves, then it's no longer part of the kli. Why? Not because it's out of the walls necessarily, because the walls over here, because by a regular kli, the walls define function. And we consider something in the kli when it's partaking of the function of that kli. But over here, this is a system of kelim that have a special function of moving the yayin from barrel to barrel. And it's via the kelim, because it's me'elav, that's the key. That's what he has to say. Me'elav means it's that's the function of these kelim themselves. It's not like I'm using like a spoon and just spooning stuff out, there is a tzura of this kli. This is the way the kli works on its own. It works this way. Of course, you always have to put things. A bowl is not going to contain wine unless I put wine in it either. So nothing happens me'elav. Nothing happens automatically, right? Everything requires some initial conditions to be met. So you don't say, well, the barrel's not holding the wine by itself because you put the wine in the barrel. That wasn't fair. It's not the barrel holding the wine. You put it in there. Of course, that's a crazy argument. So too, as long as from the tzura of the kli, there's a certain function that's continuous on its own, that we call the function of the kli. And everything that is partaking of that function is considered in that kli. So here too, once I get the, if I have a barrel and a siphon, that becomes a compound system of kalim. And once I get it going, that's the function of this system. One holds while the other draws. And it happens me'elav. You can't say, oh, it's not happening me'elav because you got it started. That's like saying the barrel's not holding the wine because I put the wine in. Of course I got it started. Just like I put wine in. I got the system. I had to get the initial amount of wine through the whole siphon. But once that starts, now me'elav, it's a system of yai of chavis and barrel and siphon. That, and all the wine that is coming through it is partaking of that system of kalim. So that's what it means, contained in the chavis arichta. This is the chavis arichta. That's very nice. Right, Johnny?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.